The board of the Reserve Bank of Australia will meet today with the cash rate expected to remain at a record low, so close to zero now for more than a year. The meeting comes amidst a booming housing market. CoreLogic's monthly home value index has risen 2.8%, and that's the biggest monthly growth since October 1988, believe it or not. However, economists are split on how long this spike in property prices will last. Martin North is principal of Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to Breakfast.
Hello there.
What's driving all of this? Most people would not have expected on this point, at this point in the economic cycle, particularly given the pandemic, that Australia'd be talking about another housing boom.
It's certainly surprising, although when you think about it, interest rates are really, really low now, and the lending standards by the banks have ratcheted down a little. So first-time buyers are borrowing on average 20% more than they were a year ago. And first-time buyers are a large proportion of the people coming into the market at the moment, thanks to government policy, thanks to, of course, the superannuation drawdowns and even money from Bank of Mum and Dad. So that's one element. The second element is that people are actually moving out of the cities into the more regional areas and indeed into freestanding homes. So there's a significant boom there in terms of demand. But the other point is that that top level index of price growth doesn't really tell you what's going on. If you look at the apartment markets, if you look at closer into the centre of town particularly, they're going in the other direction. So this is a much more complex picture than the headline might first indicate.
How much pressure does this put on the Reserve Bank when it meets today and talks about cash rates?
No, it's interesting that to both APRA and the Reserve Bank says house prices have nothing to do with us. We set monetary policy. We worry about financial stability issues. But the truth is that this is putting significant pressure on the number of households. At the moment, there's around one-third of borrowing households who are really just about hanging on by their fingernails because they've got these really big loans. Those new borrowers that are coming in are really very extended. It's interesting that in New Zealand, of course, now the Reserve Bank of New Zealand has been given a specific accountability for home prices as part of its monetary policy. We don't have that here. I think the Reserve Bank will steer its current course, which is rates will stay low for a very long time until we see wages growth. Wages growth won't happen until unemployment drops to, say, below 4%. That's 2 to 3 years out. But I think that we might see rates on real mortgages rise before that.
So in terms of for young people trying to buy their first home at the moment, are they still seeing the same number of investors competing with them for properties that existed prior to the pandemic?
No, the investor market has definitely cracked away. So there are a lot of high-rise investors who are losing money hand over fist. They can't rent the property out. Particularly in the centres of Sydney and Melbourne, for example, the capital value of those are dropping as well. A lot of them have problems with structural defects and flammable cladding, so the strata fees have risen significantly. Property investors with houses, though, are doing somewhat better, and it's interesting that if you look at some of the listings, there are more houses for rent than there are for sale at the moment.
So why is that not having much of a dampening effect on this housing market?
I think it's because there's a little bit of enthusiasm, exuberance there. Of course, the government is very keen and the Reserve Bank is very keen to create the wealth effect, because if you have a wealth effect, then you're going to find that people are going to be wanting to spend more. That's going to flow into the GDP number. So there is an absolute intent from both the Reserve Bank and from the government to try and give people a sense of momentum and, of course, rising house prices do that. I'd also make the point that there's a lot of underquoting at the moment. So a lot of house prices that are actually advertised go over the target, but that's because they're being underquoted by the agents. That's another factor that is also distorting what's really going on.
Shock horror. Who could imagine that? many economists believe property prices will continue to soar. I know you did modelling around the impact of the COVID pandemic on the market last year. One of the scenarios predicted falls of 80%, which obviously sounds extreme. Did any of your scenarios take this sort of thing into account? Did anything suggest we'd be here?
Well, certainly 6 to 9 months ago, even the, you know, likes of CBA were saying could be down 32%. And so my scenarios included some significant downside, some small upside. I've had to revise up my upside based on what's happened with the low interest rates. And of course, the Reserve Bank said, look, cut rates by 1% and prices will go up 30% over 3 years. That's their modelling. I was sceptical as to whether that will flow through as strongly as it has. I think this is a temporary situation. I suspect we will see prices beginning to moderate later in the year. And just remember this, in New Zealand, prices went up 20% in a year, and then the government and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand had to intervene to calm it. So if it continues to go away so strongly, this has got to actually signal some intervention here.
What makes you think that they'll moderate later in the year?
So three things. Firstly, the first-time buyer situation is changing. Some of the incentives are being removed. Secondly, the job seeker, the job keeper thing is coming to an end. There's also the factor that now those in the rental sector are no longer protected, so that's going to change that dynamic in the market. And the international buyers are quite interesting. There are quite a few people coming back to Australia buying some of these homes, but there's very little international interest at the moment, particularly in the high-rise sector. That's going to continue to, I think, play out and therefore put downward pressure there. And, the other point is, banks may well have to start putting up interest rates independent of the Reserve Bank because the cost of money is going up because the yield curve is moving against them. They've actually already stopped some of the four-year and five-year really cheap money that was there previously. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a small upward inflection in repayments. And remember that, of course, if repayments go up when people have big debts, that hits them immediately.
When you look back, very briefly, when you look back at that modelling that's sort of pointing to falls of up to 80%, does that feel a bit crazy now?
Well, if unemployment had reached 10% and if we had a global fallout from that, remember the Reserve Bank is part of a global quantitative easing strand that everybody pretty much is throwing money at this at the moment, much more money than I expected, there is clearly still a risk. Reading the risk is quite hard. It's probably not on the downside as far as perhaps some of my more adverse scenarios, but I think we still need to be careful.
We'll have to leave it there. Martin North, thank you so much for your time.
Good to talk to you.
Principal of Digital Finance Analytics, Martin North.